me do my makeup first.
Do I look good? Do I look good?
Oh, this is going to be used, isn't it? What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to the first episode of the Trash Taste Podcast.
Hell yeah.
The official first episode.
The official first episode. We finally made it. I'm your host for today, Joey, and joining me every week is Gant and Connor.
Hey, guys.
So yeah, it's finally happening.
It's finally happening. Oh my God. You do not know how long we've been planning this and how long we've wanted this to happen.
This shit, like how long has it been? I mean, we've been conceptualizing this podcast for like what? Over a year?
Yeah, it's been a year, at least possibly years.
Because I mean, when we decided we were going to move to Japan, I think the first thing in our mind was, "Well, we got to make a podcast."
Yeah.
But I think it were even before that, the idea of just us finally getting into a room and just you know, not doing a one-off collab but doing like a continual collab has been, you know, in our minds for ages.
Yeah, I want to say several years at least. At least almost as known as like as long as I've known you. Probably. We was like, you know, what'd be really cool, a podcast.
Yeah. I'm just left out here. I was
no, that's not sure.
I was tacked on at the end. No.
Let's talk about that. Like how we first met each other, because I think that's a good introduction to this podcast and how we've grown.
Yes, because you never know. There might be someone watching who doesn't know, like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Who's this guy?
Exactly, right?
Hi, I'm Connor. Hi. I run a channel.
I'd be pretty surprised if there is someone watching this first episode who doesn't know, like, all three of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, maybe. Or maybe they've seen us.
And if you did, then can you please tell us in the comments below how you found this video?
Yeah.
Because we're just so famous that you have no excuse for not knowing who we are. No.
I swear. So... Yeah, let's you know what? Before we talk about that, we should probably talk about what this podcast is.
Oh yeah,
okay. That's true.
We're just like rushing into things because we're so like excited.
I just want to talk.
We're so excited to get this thing off the ground. So basically, Trash Taste, as the name implies, is a podcast where we, us three, and maybe sometimes even a guest, you never know, comes onto the show and we basically talk about our trash taste, whether it comes to anime, manga, just otaku culture in general, or you never know, we might talk about whatever the fuck we want. Who knows?
Yeah, because if you didn't know, we are all like anime YouTubers.
Yeah.
So
No way. Bruh.
This guy called the Anime Man
You dug your hole with that one.
Yeah, I really fucked myself with that one, definitely.
This guy called Sea Dog Var, which-
Oh God. That too,
what I does Var stand for?
Virginia is all the comments seem to think.
He's from Virginia, guys.
It's okay, because the amount of years that I still get comments, which is like, they call me Gig UK and not Giga.
How do you do that? I mean, listen, people might call you Gig UK, but I still know you as the anime zone, okay? AZ in the thumbnails, in the old thumbnails, that's how I knew I was watching an anime zone video.
I'm actually curious, how long have you been watching my videos? Because this ties into how we first met as well.
I've known you, I mean, I obviously, as I said, I've known you since the anime zone.
That's a long time.
Which is like a long time. Yeah. But I think I watched you probably not knowing that you were like this like YouTube personality because-
Because
I was in like a weird state. I don't think I discovered YouTubers until maybe about 2011.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because they've been around for a long time since then, right?
Yeah,
and exactly. Obviously you've been around since then. Yeah. But I never like went onto YouTube being like, I'm gonna go check out my favorite YouTuber. I kind of just used YouTube up until around 2011. I think I just used YouTube as to like either watch music or listen to music videos or just to like, oh, this is an interesting looking video.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of your videos were like the interesting looking ones. I think I remember actually the first video I ever watched from you, surprisingly, was not Avo Bridged.
Oh shit.
I know. I watched Avo Bridged when I like the idea of a YouTuber an series came around. Yeah. And I was like, oh, abridging, that sounds fun, but tedious as fuck. But no, I think the first video I watched from you was, oh God, I probably want to say it's the Summer Wars review you did.
Oh my God.
Like the one you did in like 2008.
That's going so far back. What the fuck, man?
I never even saw your Ava Abridge.
Yeah.
I just, cause I hadn't watched Ava. So I was like, why would I watch the Abridge? I don't even know what this Abridged is. Yeah. Like, why would I watch that? So I think I watched some of your stuff. I just knew you were always the British one.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. The British. Cause that was my branding.
Yeah. Cause there was like Tristan and then you in my mind. I think that was it to a lot of people at least when I got into it, like 2013. I start watching YouTube a lot, especially anime stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. But then, so how long have you been doing YouTube for?
I've been doing it since 2007. So
he's like an actual OG.
I'll have to like trace back, but I think I'm like the fifth ever anime YouTuber of all time. Might be like fourth or fifth, but I've been there since the beginning. I can recite the entire history of AniTube.
Which we're definitely going to do in like a future
not for this episode. Yeah. Because there's a lot to say, but for now, like I remember... I can't remember what the exact first video I saw from you, Joey, but I remember your videos just getting recommended to me constantly.
Really?
And I'm just like, my first thought was, how has no one taken the handle the anime man? I've been on YouTube for so many fucking years and just now someone is called the anime, there's no fucking
way.
No,
but the thing is, someone did take the handle anime man.
Oh, so, okay.
Because that's why like, on like even my like my YouTube URL and like my Twitter and everything, it's the anime man, but instead of an I, it's a one. Because somebody on like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like YouTube, someone took the anime man. It was like this guy who never uploaded any videos. He's been around since like 2007.
Yeah,
and so I was just like, oh man, you are such a son of a bitch. So I was like, well, what am I gonna do? All right, fuck it, I'll just replace it with a one. Somehow that caught on. I don't know how the fuck, but I mean, I regret that name. Let's be honest. Like,
I mean, it works for SEO, right? Because the reason I was called the Anime Zone is because
you wanted anime.
Yeah, yeah. Because back
because he was in the zone.
Back in the day when you could just type in anime and it was just all my videos. I'm like, man, I've won this game. I'm playing the game correctly.
And then I came along. I was like, hold my beer.
Exactly.
You're in the zone. I'm the man.
But I remember the first time I was. I mean, I don't think I ever saw one of your videos. No. The first time I heard about you, Connor, was actually when you auditioned for one of my Abridged series.
So really?
Yeah. So I haven't told this story to Joe yet. Yeah. So I did a casting call for one of the In Minutes videos, right? And I told people to send in their demo videos.
I'm trying to remember what this was now because I don't remember.
It's going all the way back. And so I asked people to send in their demo reel, and most people send in their demo reel. And this guy, this fucker, doesn't even send in a demo reel. He just sends in a YouTube video of him doing League of Legend character impressions. And I'm
okay,
like-
Okay, wait, let me explain. As to why you should also never do that yourself.
Don't do that.
When someone asks for demos, send a demo reel. I think at the time I didn't have a character demo reel. And to be fair, I still don't have a character demo reel because I never needed it. Here's the thing as well. A lot of character demos on Twitter, you'll hear them. They're really, really bad.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you're making it yourself, you don't have anyone to say like, hey, this voice kind of sucks, right? So like, every time I've made a professional demo, I've had like a director who's like hand chosen every scene and told me what to do.
Right. Yeah.
And then it sounds good because someone who can hear your voice and be like, oh, do this and that. But back then I didn't know that. And this was before I started doing, you know, a lot of professional stuff. And it's a great way to introduce yourself to someone. This is this is also another thing. You shouldn't send a demo to someone if it's garbage, because you're gonna, like, this guy still remembers that shit.
I remember because he was the only person who didn't send a demo reel, but just sent a YouTube video of him doing impressions. Never send, like, if there is a checklist of things not to send for a demo, do not send character impressions.
That's such a big dick move. Like, it's like, I don't even need a character demo reel. Exactly, like, right? My impressions are good enough.
So, I mean,
do you remember which characters you did?
Yeah, I think so. I think they were like, it was just a bunch of the manly guys from League of Legends.
Just anyone with a low voice.
Yeah, it was
indiscriminate. Wow, what a surprise.
I did Lux too. I did Lux.
But no, it's like, it's been awesome seeing you how far you've come from sending in a character impression reel to like doing
that must have been just like a year or two after I started as well. And I still like, you think that you figure stuff out after a year, but like you realize when you look back, like you didn't know shit.
Because what year did you start?
YouTube? Yeah. YouTube, I started 2015. I started voice acting really in like 2013, late 2014. So that gave me a big like advantage. I went into it with like a great microphone
from the start.
Which a lot of people don't.
Because you had that voice acting back.
Yeah. And I mean, funny enough, how I met you, I actually have the email. I sent to him.
Wait, what? Actually, you have an email?
I have the email.
Before we started recording this, we were going to talk about like how we all met one another. This guy was like, I don't think Joey remembers the first time we met. I think I do though.
Okay. Do you want to read the email that I sent?
Go, please.
Okay, this is when I had-
Well, you sent it to me, right?
Yeah. So this was about like, I must have been like 4 months into me doing YouTube. And I think I had like maybe 30, 40K subs at this point.
Yeah.
I think Joey, I think he had like 900K at this time.
Probably.
It was something like, you had a lot. Yeah. Like way more than I had. Yeah. And so I sent you an email saying, wow, this is so informal. So, hello there. My name is Connor or CDog VA on YouTube. Wait, this doesn't make any sense grammatically. Or CDog VA on my, I need to use commas. Hello there. My name is Connor or CDog VA on YouTube channel here.
And then
okay, here's where it starts to get real cringy. Okay. I've been working on a Levi versus Sebastian rap battle.
Oh my God. I remember that.
Okay, wait. I'll finish it, then I'll explain.
Yeah.
It is about 90% complete. I noticed you recently did a rap battle and it was well done. Wow, I couldn't have kissed your ass more here, huh? It's more of an insulting each other character rap. I have the voice of Sebastian Michaelis English dub down to a T. Wow, that was really cool.
Wow.
And I was wondering if you'd like to be Levi. If you wish to talk to me more about it and the logistics, feel free to contact me on Skype.
The logistics. What logistics?
I wanted to sound professional as fuck.
Yeah.
Or just reply to this email. Any response is appreciated. Kind regards, CDog. I don't even use my real name, CDog VA. And then Jerry replied saying, hi there. Sure, sounds like fun, smiley face. I added you on Skype. We can talk about it. And I remember the first thing that Jerry sent me was like, yo, your voice is cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
I still think that to this
day. Yeah.
So that's how, like, and to this day, I thought that was so cool that you actually replied, because I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of mean. When I see a video, normally when it's like collab, it's normally like, normally it's like, I don't know what I want to do yet, but I want to collab.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And it's like, what do you mean you don't know what you want to do yet? You're pitching an idea to me. What the fuck? So that's how I met you.
Yeah. I fucking remember that too, because the rap battle I did was, oh, so bad. Don't watch it.
But it was like, pretty bad.
It was pretty fucking bad. At the time, it was the first time I ever used the green screen in my video.
Oh.
And because I was in like my tiny bedroom in Australia, there was no place to like prop up the green screen. Yeah. So what I had to do, it's so ghetto. What I had to do was I had to get the green screen and literally like tape it to the ceiling.
No, I've done exactly the same thing before, man.
And just like let it droop down and just stand in front of it. And like I had no light, so you could see my shadow fucking flickering in and out the whole video. I obviously couldn't rap at the time either. I'm a little bit better now, but yeah, it was L from Death Note versus Lelouch from Code Geass.
Right, I remember it.
And
yeah.
I played Lelouch and another friend of mine played L.
Yeah.
And I think that video has like 500,000 views. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I mean, this is back when it was like epic rap battles of history.
Yeah, we basically wanted to do an epic rap battles of history, but with no cosplay. It's just two dudes just rapping in front of a green screen.
Checks out. That's like 2015 YouTube.
Yeah. But basically like that kind of somehow popped off on my channel. And then, you messaged me about it.
Because I actually was writing that with Grey Fox at the time.
Yeah.
Amazing guy.
Yeah.
And I thought like, we had like a banger. We had like, so many, like, Grey Fox had made the tracks for many beats and they were like amazing.
Man, sending emails, that's such a boomer way to slide into someone's DMs.
Now it's Twitter. Yeah. Right?
Not to mention, we added each other on Skype.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The good old days of Skype.
And then I think like your Skype account got hacked or something at some point.
It got hacked twice.
And then I know how I met you, but it was weird because I think I saw Sydney was following me.
Yeah, Sid Snap, my fiance.
Yeah, and I think I followed her back because I knew of Sydney. And then Sydney DM'd me. She'll say that she didn't. Sydney DM'd me first. I know. And she was like, you're going to MCM, which is a convention in London. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then Sydney was like, oh, come to this meetup. You can meet me and Gaunt.
Yeah.
I didn't get to meet Gaunt because he was too busy. So I turned up like an idiot. It was like, hi, I'm like CDog and stuff. And everyone's like, who the fuck? Who are you? At the time, I had like 200K subscribers. So yeah. It was like a substantial amount for that time period.
But it was funny because you had an audience that was vastly different from every other anime YouTuber.
I mean, still like that to this
day.
Yeah,
that's true.
I reckon.
It's gone like a lot less. So at the time in around 2000, the peak of it at 2014, I had a 93% female audience.
Which was unheard of for a YouTuber.
I think his nickname when we first met him was the 93%.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah. We've never heard of that.
We were just like, how's the 90% doing?
I'm okay. I got bullied for it.
I really want to start calling you that from now.
It's like 55-60% now. It's leveled out a lot, but
you've been doing JoJo.
It was crazy though. And that's like all the YouTubers in anime were all dudes. There was like one or two girls, but it was all dudes. So every time I turned up to like an AniTuber meetup, everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? How's he got 200K? How did he get that? How would none of us know who he is?
Why is this guy from Virginia? He's 200,000 subscribers. What the fuck?
Yeah, so I mean, that's how I met Gon, and then we went from there, really.
Yeah, can I tell the story about how the first time we met in person? Yeah, because
I don't know where you're going to start this story.
Okay, so the first time we met in person, it was like AX 2000 and is it 17?
It was 16 or 17.
I think so I knew Joey. I didn't know that he knew who I was.
Right, and vice versa. Yeah. I knew Gun, but I didn't know if he knew me.
Yeah, so this was back when if you didn't know, I took a hiatus on YouTube for like 2 years because I got a real job and everything like that. And in that time, I had gone from being like one of the most popular anime YouTubers to just, you know, someone who had taken a hiatus. And in that time, Joey had like exploded. Like you reached numbers that back in my time, I didn't know was even fucking possible. Like you were like close to a million. You were like hot shit at the time.
Yeah.
So the first time,
you're welcome.
So the first time I saw Joey, we were like in Little Tokyo or something.
Yeah. I remember exactly where it was too. It was that part in like the back half of Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
Like right, it's like underneath a building and you go into where the, it's like a figurine shop right at the end.
Yeah.
And you were walking with Jeff, right?
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. Because I think Jeff said hello to Misty because they're both tall motherfuckers.
They're like 2 meters tall.
So it was just like standing next to two fucking skyscrapers while we're just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at you and you looked at me and we didn't say shit to each other. And I thought this motherfucker must hate me. this motherfucker hates me.
And at the same time, I like Gon and I like looked at each other in the eyes, and in my head I was like, this guy definitely hates me. This guy hates my guts.
So I'm just like, man, Joey's such an arrogant piece of shit, man. I can't believe this guy.
I remember we shook hands. We were like, hi, I'm Joey, nice to meet you. And you're like, hi, I'm Gun, nice to meet you. And that was it.
That was it.
Wow. It was so awkward.
I never heard this story.
It sounds like
it was a sterile meeting.
Well, because the only people who were there was Misty, Jeff, and Aki.
I think,
and us two. So it was like very small.
Yeah.
And then what, like fast forward, like what, 2 years?
I think it was next year. It might have been even less than that when I came to went on a trip to Japan or something. Mm. And
you randomly DM'd me.
I was like, for some reason he follows me. So maybe he doesn't hate me.
Maybe
he's cool. So yeah, we DM'd each other and then we met in Japan. And then we just like instantly just like fucking great friends, you know, from that point.
We went to an izakaya. No, we met up in Akihabara.
Yeah.
And we like hung out a little bit. And then we went to an izakaya in Ueno.
Yeah, yeah.
Till like 2 in the morning or something.
Yeah.
Like something ridiculous like that. We missed the last train.
Yeah. And then we were like,
wow, it sounds like a romance.
I know.
We missed the last train. We had so much fun together.
Because we had the moment when we were sitting in the izakaya.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought you hated me.
And I was like, I thought you hated me. Like, we don't hate each other. High five.
And yeah, and then after that, we had like a karaoke night where we...
Yeah, I think it was like a few days later.
Wasn't it? And I think that's when the seeds of the podcast were sown, I think, because we were up till... We missed the last train and we were just with karaoke with each other and Sydney. And there was like two other people.
Yeah.
And then everyone else had fallen asleep, but it was just... us two and one other guy. Right. It was like 5 a.m.
I don't even remember who the other guy was.
I don't remember either.
Poor guy.
He wasn't like a friend of Gant or mine. No. He was just a dude.
He didn't know who we were. He didn't know that we were like anime YouTubers or anything. No. So we were up at 5 a.m. drunk as shit. And then me and Joey just start hosting this panel. For this one guy, right?
We each had like a karaoke microphone each, like echoey as shit. And we were just like, welcome to the panel. And there's just one dude across the table being like, woo!
Yeah, he didn't know who we were, but we still just hosted this anime panel for him. I don't know I didn't even know if he watched anime or not, but I'm like,
no idea.
Joey, what's your opinion on Bakemonogatari? Who is best girl? And
that just went off for like an hour.
Yeah, and this went on for like an hour. And then after that, we were like, we need to host a panel together.
Yeah.
And we managed to do that last year at AX.
Which was awesome.
First time, that was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, like 2-3 years in the making. And in between that, we were like, surely we gotta make a podcast
Here we are after fucking, 3 or 4 years?
Maybe, yeah.
From like first conception.
Yeah.
And like even like planning this whole podcast out as well, like took a very, very long time.
Yeah, because this is actually a studio for it.
So yes, so we had to like get our own studio. As you can see, we're still working on it. But give us some time, stick around for that.
Just like getting a studio in Japan.
Oh my God.
Near Tokyo. My fucking God. Don't even get me started on how hard that was, okay?
It's fucking impossible.
I'm sure we can talk about in future our experiences with just renting and all that stuff in Japan, my God. But you know what's funny when you guys are like, you said you like just clicked like that after you guys start talking. It's so like, I think that happens easily when you're both like around the same like sub thing. Because there's no question if you're trying to leech off each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I remember like when I first started and when I was trying to like, when we were like first like hanging out, I always felt like, man, do they wonder if I'm just like a leech or something? Cause like I had like 150, 200 and they had like 1,000,000+, right? So you just get this thing in your head. You're like, man, am I like leeching? Do they think that? But then like when you get like, I think now I don't give a shit. Cause like, I mean
like concerning you and I, like we popped off very naturally because spoiler, we never ended up doing that rap battle.
Yeah.
That just like disappeared because I think the first time I like publicly did something with you was on your stream.
Yeah, you did.
And we played Broforce together for like 3 hours.
Yeah, those highlights
something.
Are still up on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are, yeah. And then I think I played a lot of games on your stream with you. Mm. And then I think we just hung out at AX and it just went. And then
because we played like Metal Slug and shit on my channel.
Oh yeah, Metal Slug's one of like my favorite games. I think we just did British things and met up and got drunk.
did British things.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so easy to befriend other British people because it's just like, we just get it. I don't know.
No, like going off to what you said about feeling like you're leeching from someone. Yeah. It's weird, right? Because you, as someone who's been in the position of, you know, not, you know, being a smaller YouTuber and a larger YouTuber, you can kind of get a sense just from meeting a person, especially if you meet them in real life, right? Online, it's so fucking difficult.
That's true.
To gauge what someone's character is actually like. And, you know, if they're trying to, you know, leech off you or get clout or whatever. But especially at an event like AX,
where the real person comes out.
Yeah. You can definitely get a better judge of character at a convention or meeting someone in real life, like a big event like AX.
I think there's also a lot with that is that when you're at AX, I think some people think, okay, I've only got 5 minutes with this guy and I've got to like befriend him.
Yeah.
So I think they like, sometimes they go overboard with like trying to impress you where it's like, what the fuck is this guy? Like,
I mean, one thing I've noticed with when it comes to like, cause I've been to so many conventions where like people have come up to me just for that like 5 minutes that they have time with somebody to like, just, I don't want to say kiss ass, but you know, when someone's trying to kiss ass, you're right.
Yeah.
Or like, but like the thing is that like, at least earlier on when I would meet people like that and they're trying to be nice to me during those 5 minutes, I didn't know if they were just trying to kiss my ass or if they were genuinely nice people.
Yeah.
But the one way I found it is if they can, I guess, like try and maintain that friendship with you and try and stay contact with you after that event, then I think they're like genuinely nice people.
Yeah. Because I don't want to make it sound like we're all fucking assholes, I think. We have like really
just
big
jaded
egos.
Cunts who don't reply to anything.
I'm talking, hearing about how you just messaged Connor back from just that one email.
Yeah.
I also remember the point when I would just try to like talk to everyone and collaborate with everyone.
Yeah, same.
But then you get to a point when you see that 90% of these emails and 90% of these people talking to you don't actually mean what they mean or are looking for something. And you get a sense for, that as time goes by. Mm. So it's
I feel like you just glance at an email now and you know what they're up to, like what they're trying to get
usually
at.
Usually if it starts with, I'm 13 years old, then that's something you just need to insta-delete.
Actually, here's a question for you. What's the weird, I know you've got some stories of this, Connor.
Oh God.
What are some of like the weirdest fan emails you've ever received?
I get them every week. Right. I like to say every week, but it's like, I've gotten somewhere. It's just like, I genuinely think like I'm actually scared to open it. Even though there's like no attachments, no links or anything, not even a subject title. Yeah. It's literally just, I open it and it says, you're cool. And I'm like, opening an email like that at like midnight is like the scariest shit ever. Because I'm just like, did my computer just get hacked? I don't know if this is like an elaborate like Trojan or if it's just like a 10-year-old who's learning to use email for the first time. Like, I'm like, thanks, but who are you?
Or when they just send a link. That's creepy.
Oh, yeah.
You send a link. It's like, do I click it?
No, that's always never a click sauce. A link.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I don't know. I've got so many stories, I guess, of emails. Because I guess it's my fault because I kind of encouraged it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've made multiple videos where I've got content from my emails. Sometimes it's good, but then also, I think now since I've joined an agency, I feel bad for the agency where they sometimes see the shit I get sent. Luckily, I normally like delete the ones that I know are like just trolling before my agency can see it. Because I don't want some Japanese worker opening my email and it being like, hey, I think you're dummy thick and I'm 13, by the way. Like, that's like, you get stuff where they'll say like they want to date you and they'll put their 13 and like, it's just like, is this Chris Hansen? Yeah. Is Chris Hansen emailing me?
Yeah.
Like, I think I've spoke about this in a video once, but there was someone who emailed me, and I still remember this because like I had an interaction. I replied to it, and it was this interaction where they sent me a script of phone sex that we were going to have. So it was like, what? I actually still have the script. I'm not going to read it out because there's more to the story. There's the reason why I decided to not make it into a video.
Yeah.
But it was like a script, and it was it was. First, it was one script was me and her, and there was also a music set list that she had chosen. So there was when the music would play.
She had the music chosen.
So "You in the End" by Linkin Park.
No, no. The worst part was it was like "Pour Some Like Sugar on Me," and you know, like the cheesiest songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought in my head, because back then I read all of them in depth, and I thought, wow, this is a video idea if I can like keep this going.
Right.
And there's also another script where it was me having gay sex with Sebastian Michaelis.
Of course.
I mean, that would be expected.
Yeah.
That's funny that that's like not the weirdest story.
I'm surprised you didn't make a video on
that. Well, okay. So here's why. And I feel bad. I hope this person isn't watching. So I interacted with them a bit and they were like, obviously I knew they were going to be strange, right? Because who sends an email like that?
Yeah.
And I started interacting with them more and more. And then they started sending me way too much information about themselves. There's also another guy who sent me his birth certificate, by the way. That's a whole nother
what?
Email.
Ooh, don't do that.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Don't do that.
I didn't ask for it. His opening email was, here's my birth certificate, driving license, address. And I was like, what is wrong with you? I also mentioned this. I don't know which video I mentioned all this. But yeah, so I replied to this person. I kept replying with them because they kept replying with really funny stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I can get an amazing video out of this.
Yeah.
And then, well, the one thing they said, which made me think, okay, now I just have to like completely scrap all this, is that they said like, oh, here are my hobbies, blah, blah, blah. By the way, I'm in the Special Olympics team for the USA. And I was like, oh my God, what? No. What? Like, why? You shouldn't be sending me this. And then I explained to them, you know, I was like, hey, maybe you shouldn't send this email to me. And you know, I don't think this is like an appropriate way. And I'm really sorry for like messing with your time and stuff. And I just, it was a whole thing where I was like, oh my God, I'm an asshole. And Jesus Christ, like, what the fuck? And, but yeah, there's so many emails where I've gotten where, I mean, I made a whole video where I went on a date with someone and I was like, was it a date?
Yeah.
From an email.
That was scary watching that video.
You were like, Connor's going to get cancer.
I'm like, this kid's going to get stabbed.
I remember you pitching that video idea to me and I'm just like, Connor, I don't know if that's the best idea. But I mean, it turned out a good video.
Yeah, I pitched it to like 10 of our friends and everyone was like, whoa, Connor, no, don't do that.
I love how Aki, my girlfriend, was like genuinely worried for you. She's like, I really don't think. I think Connor's going to die.
I think if you watch the video, they felt more concerned for the girl because we turned up with like me, Evan, Mudan, and another guy and just one girl. Just like one girl alone, right? So like, you know, it was all wholesome in the end. It was all wholesome. Yeah, she was really nice about it. Yeah. And you know, she liked the video, so that was good.
Jesus Christ.
She just walked into a casting couch.
Yeah. All right.
I guess like, I don't get right,
top,
so-
Top that, top
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. I can't top that. Because I actually don't get that many weird emails or weird fan mails.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's because I mostly talk about anime and it's less about my own personality, I guess. I don't know. I guess like one weird email I got recently, which wasn't even an email to me, right? So someone used my email and pretended to be me and emailed Studio Wit, right? Okay. I got the email here, actually. They emailed Studio Wit pretending to be me because they used my email, and I got a notification from the official Studio Wit. Like, you know, like the automatic notification that says, hey, you've submitted this email to us.
Okay.
So the email reads, hello. I am anime reviewer Gigak. I will make a request of you. Many people want Eren and Mikasa to have a relationship. Eren x Mikasa. I think this happens, many people will enjoy the anime more.
This has to be a troll.
I would be pleased with the development of events in this direction. That's how it was. I hope you will evaluate my proposal. I wish you good day.
Man,
This
sounds like the email I sent you. Contact me for more so we can figure out the logistics.
We can figure out the logistics of Eren x Mikasa.
Oh my god.
You know, let's just completely bypass Isayama. Just go straight to Wit. Just be like,
they have the final say.
Fuck you, Isayama, we're doing this.
Like, I like how they just emailed Studio Wit, who has no creative control over how Attack on Titan's gonna end anyway.
I really wish that like Studio Wit took that email seriously and like actually hooked up like Isayama being like, So this popular anime reviewer wants...
You know Gigak, right?
Yeah, you know Gigak, right? Gig UK? He wants Eren and Mikasa together? Yeah. Do you think that's possible?
Like, can you make this a thing?
Can you please make this a thing?
Hey, season 4 Attack on Titan. I'm ready.
Hey, you never know, man. Like, none of us have caught up on the manga, right?
Yeah.
It might happen.
I feel like it's a crime to.
And if it does happen, we can thank a certain email.
If Eren x Mikasa is a thing, I know.
Yeah.
I know who caused
fake, fake gun gets all the credit. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think. Should we break out the beers. Yeah, this has been a long time coming. Welcome to Trash Taste Podcast.
If you want to know, drinking is going to be a quite frequent occurrence on this show.
Yeah.
So get used to it.
Yeah. So that was, I didn't imagine our intro was going to be that long. In my head, I was like,
this. Come by, bitch?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm
sorry. Finally. No. I think, would you guys all say that Attack on Titan season 4 is your most anticipated
anime season?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
How do you even match that hype at this point?
Wait, is it next season?
It was meant to be airing this fall, I think.
Summer, I believe.
No, it was definitely, it was fall. It was
really?
You're wrong, Joey.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone up against the guy who emailed Studio Wit.
he's got a personal contact at Wit.
But yeah, I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's airing, it was scheduled to air next fall.
Right.
And I've heard from, because I made a video about the first three seasons of Attack on Titan, and I've heard from pretty much everyone who's read the manga that season 4 is going to be the best season.
Oh no, I have also heard that.
I mean, even if it was just mediocre, I feel like we'd still like just think it's amazing. Because like the journey to get there has been so, and this last part was, oh my God, every episode was a banger.
Insane.
My God, like it's so rare that you get to see a series just improve over time every season. Because I remember when Attack on Titan season 1 was airing, right? Yeah. And it was great, but I felt like it was very forgettable in the sense of, well, I remember when season two aired, I didn't remember anything that happened in season one.
You know what? I remember specifically in your video of the like seasonal review, you said, remember their Attack on Titan? And then you just play cricket noises and moved on. and I remember being like, what? I'm watching Attack on Titan season two. It's good, I think.
No, but like, I do agree though, that like season two, because season one, when I watched it, I was like, okay, this
the
is
hype
cool.
was insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then season two came around and I actually dropped it.
No one cared during season
because,
two.
Yeah, because I think what it was that because season one was, you know, all about like the action and just like building the world. And then season two was a lot of politics and a lot of talking.
Yeah, season two just took the pace because season one was like a fucking roller coaster. You were going up and down every few episodes. It was like, you didn't know what was going to happen, but it to me, it felt a bit empty. And season two felt much slower paced. It was more of like a slow burn when they focused more on the characters.
Yeah.
But I actually got really drawn into the world way more into season two. But by the time season two ended, I was like, okay, I'm now way more invested, but nothing really big has happened.
Because it was 12 episodes, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was only 12 episodes.
I think everyone was like, what the fuck? We've waited 4 years or something for 12 episodes?
Well, because they rushed it out.
They didn't expect it. But I mean, definitely, I think, in season three, when that scene with Levi came out, as I think when it just exploded, everyone saw that gif on Twitter and was like, I gotta fucking catch up. Like, this is insane. No. Like, just thinking about that scene, like, gives me goosebumps.
It's so good.
Because I remember season three, part one, I enjoyed so fucking much.
It was good.
Because I didn't realize I could care about the politics that much in Attack on Titan. Because I remember by the time season three started, I was enjoying Attack on Titan for completely different reasons than season one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can say the same thing about every season.
Right.
So I've heard season four is going to be completely different. Completely different to what's previously been.
Because I mean, like, I don't remember when it was, but me and Aki went to the Attack on Titan exhibit that they did in Roppongi. And basically it was really tough because what they did was essentially, they really catered to the manga readers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I am not the manga reader. So in like the later rooms of the exhibit, they basically like on all the walls, they would have like the original Genga of the manga.
Right.
In these frames, which is fucking cool.
Yeah.
But then as you got further down the exhibit, they would start showing stuff that hadn't been adapted yet.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let's just cover my eyes. But obviously there was just some stuff that I couldn't really avoid seeing.
Yeah.
And the tiny little bits that I did see out of context, I was like,
what the fuck?
Wow. There is no fucking way that's happening. And then to top it off, there was this room. This was like a really experimental move on their part, but there was this room that you had to go into and it was completely pitch black room and there's just audio playing on the speakers in this pitch black room.
Yeah.
And what that audio is it's audio of what Isayama envisions the final chapter of Attack on Titan to be.
He's just handing the spoiler card.
So there's no visuals. There's no visuals. It's just audio. And it's what he envisions it will sound like when adapted into an anime. The only thing we heard was a lot of like background noises and like ambient noises and Mikasa yelling Eren from a long way away.
Okay, that could mean anything.
Which could mean anything. I mean, like, I'm obviously not doing the audio justice, but it sounded epic.
Can we get a one-to-one reenactment right now?
It was just like,
wow.
That's all it was. Yeah.
Just a Wilhelm scream in there as well. Like. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm obviously not doing the audio justice, but it sounded like, when I just like closed my eyes and heard that, I was like, wow, I've never been more excited for an anime in my life.
But it's good to know that the anime and the manga will end with Mikasa screaming Eren as she has done.
Technically a spoiler.
As she has done for the entire fucking series.
I mean, with the track record that Attack on Titan has right now, I mean, every episode, you could argue, has been really good, right? I mean, the story's just been, there's no like faults in the story so far, right? It's holding up pretty well.
I'd say it's been building on its story.
Right, really well.
Really, really well.
Like if they nail this ending, what like category is this in of like
masterpiece?
What would you put it as like in the, like anime in the same category then if it killed this last season?
My fucking God!
Like, cause could it even be in its own thing where like no anime is like as good?
I would say
that's hard.
That's hard to say.
That's a big statement, right?
Yeah.
There.
But I mean, I'm just trying to think how many like How many anime series have there been where it's stretched out for, I mean,
over 50 episodes.
Over 50 episodes, like let's say 4 or 5 seasons, and has like killed it this hard.
Yeah, I would say it be similar to something like Fullmetal Alchemist, Hunter x Hunter. Although I'd say it's, I haven't seen Fullmetal Alchemist. Yeah. I get that's my fan base. My fan base knows this. It's a big fucking meme. But Fullmetal Alchemist is that one anime that I haven't seen.
We all have that one anime. Yeah, that we haven't
I guess
seen.
When I think about it, Hunter x Hunter for it's. I mean, it hasn't ended though, which is probably the problem where you couldn't argue it's thing. In the same class. But yeah. I guess Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, maybe you could.
Yeah, because you never know. Like Hunter x Hunter might. I'm hoping not, but you never know. But Hunter x Hunter might end up like a Yu Yu Hakusho, where the ending's just like.
Yeah. I think that's the problem. Is that I think everyone's kind of beginning to accept that slowly.
I think so, yeah.
Because the world is just, especially now with the Dark Continent stuff, which it's a load of stuff with Hunter x Hunter, but it's looking like it's even more ambitious than before. And he's not releasing chapters.
No.
Well, he is at a very slow rate.
It's going to take a whole lifetime to catch up. But going back to Attack on Titan, I think I called it like, even if it was of the quality of season 3, part 2, and it ended in that quality, it would be a modern classic.
Oh, for sure.
In my opinion. If it's even better than that, I have no fucking clue. But that makes me so excited. The fact that there's a possibility of that
is just nuts.
I think the last time I was possibly that excited for like a follow-up was One Punch Man season 2.
We all know how that happened.
But like it wasn't, okay, I rewatched a few clips recently of One Punch Man season 2 and it like wasn't that bad. I think it's just, we set our expectations disgustingly high.
It wasn't bad. It was painfully mediocre.
It was like Seven Deadly Sins season 1 and then it like, so what I'm hoping is that the next season, assuming we get another one of One Punch Man, is that it doesn't go to Seven Deadly Sins season 3.
Yeah. Oh my God. That shit is still, I haven't seen any of Seven Deadly Sins. I don't know anything about it. Never read the manga, never watched the anime, but not gonna lie, there's a part of me when I saw footage of season 3, I was like, I kind of want to watch this now just to see it devolve into this current state.
Like I remember because the fight that they fucked up was one of the most hyped fights.
Yeah, in the manga, cool. Right? That's what I heard.
Yeah, it was one of the most hyped fights. And then they fucked it up so much that fan animation of that fight that was released before looked better than the official fight.
Because when I found out about that scene, someone put it up on Twitter and had to preface it by saying, no, this is not a fan animation. This is the official episode. Because everybody in that tweet was like, is this fan made? This has to be fan made. Yeah, right? Yeah. This is like some guy who like just learned how to use Flash like a week ago. Like,
just, you know what sticks out in my mind? That kick. The kick. The kick. When that GIF first came out and I saw the kick, which you're probably seeing on screen right now, I fucking lost it, man.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard.
I don't think I'd ever, like I'd watched all of Seven Deadly Sins up until that point. Right. And like, I wasn't like a huge fanboy, but every time a new season was announced for the OVAs, I'd watch them.
Yeah.
I'd never so quickly lost interest in a series just from seeing that one screenshot of Meliodas like getting up from the bed. I was like, what did they do to him? What did they do to him? Like we've never seen anything, like has that happened in anime before? Like where a season has like so drastically changed studios and lost.
I'm sure like if you
I know there have been, and I know I'm going to kill myself for not remembering like what this is, but there's been so many times that's
that drastic though.
Yeah,
there's been a few examples.
Maybe the difference was is when it happened back then is that there wasn't Twitter, and when it happens now, when it happens now.
Yeah, exactly. There was just like a bunch of like otakus just gathering, being like, "You've seen the latest season? It's shit." Like
the only thing I can think of right now is like off the top of my head is Berserk.
Oh
which,
God!
Which it's changed studio, but it was technically a continuation.
Okay. What's worse then, Berserk, the second adaptation of Berserk, or the Seven Deadly Sins, the new season?
Berserk.
Really?
I'd say Berserk. Yeah.
Right.
Because I mean, like, you know, I'm saying that from like a hardcore Berserk fan.
I haven't read the manga, so
Because if you've read the manga. And I'm sure everybody who's read the manga can agree with this, but like, I have never wanted to like cry from sadness watching anime. I'm like, how could they do my boy guts like that? And I'm like, it was just.
because the Berserk adaptation was just a failure on pretty every much level. Every level yeah. from like the animation, which everyone likes to point out, but like the composition, the sound design. I mean, if you heard that like, bung, yeah. like sound that it's just what? How did you get this? Who did you hire to do the sound design?
What Foley artist like fucking came up with that sound?
Like, how did you see this big fucking iron sword and just like
let's pull out a cowbell?
just do a JoJo, make everything a gunshot.
Yeah,
just like
exactly.
every punch kick.
I mean, that would have been even better. Honestly,
can I talk about JoJo sound design? I love JoJo sound design so much because sound design is something that people don't normally talk about, right?
No.
And you don't really hear people.
It's like voice acting, right? When it's done well, you don't notice.
Yeah. So with JoJo sound design, it's one of the few shows where if you hear like a sound,
you know it's from JoJo.
You know the exact stand, and you know the like. Sometimes it's the exact episode and the exact fight because they're that recognizable and they're like not generic at all, and. I fucking love JoJo sound design because the reason why I think the anime is as good as it is, one of the reasons, is that the sound design is so fucking good. Mm. Like, have you guys seen the, I assume you guys have seen the JoJo OPs where they add the sound effects.
Yeah.
And it's so much better, isn't it?
So cool. I don't know why they don't do that for the airing versions.
I mean, it's not really what you see in an OP, right?
Right, I guess.
It is pretty unconventional.
But I mean, there's so many sounds that you could say like iconic. Like when you hear that gunshot for the punch, you know it's a JoJo punch.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes it sound so meaty. It's great. I love it.
Just the punching sounds. Yeah, like every time, you know, like there's like a Muda or like a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or an Aura. Like just like the... Yeah. It is almost like gun-like, isn't
it? It is. I'm pretty sure it's like gunshot. Like you hear it, it's a gunshot. Like, and then obviously the Zawardo time stop, which I feel like has almost become the universal sound of stopping time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Zawardo. And then there's also, you know, if you talk about music alone, my God, the new season absolutely killed it.
Oh my God.
I think Super Eye Patch Wolf, John said this in his review of Golden Wind, and I feel the same way. Like this is, Golden Wind was the first adaptation of a JoJo where I think the anime is better because you lose so much when you take away that sound and especially the music. When you hear that Giorno's theme, come on. Oh,
Giorno's theme, shit hot. Giorno's theme is one of the few tracks in anime that has been memed to death.
Yeah, it is Al Megalovania.
And I have not gotten bored of it.
No. It's so good.
Every version I've heard of Giorno's theme, I've equally just been like, yes. It's so like a piano version, metal version, I don't care. It's always been so good.
When we can go back to the gym, some of the best music to put when you're working out is JoJo's. It works so well. And I know it should work well, but man, when that piano hits, you're doing an extra rep, no matter how tired you are. You're doing that extra rep.
Oh, it's so good.
It's almost too hype sometimes though.
Yeah.
You're like, oh shit, I gotta keep doing this rap or I'm dying right now. Don't wanna let my boy JoJo down.
Speaking of anime adaptations though, there is one topic I would like to cover because it is quite timely.
Yeah.
But just yesterday actually, recording this episode, I found, or I guess Aki found, that somebody is adapting Killing Stalking.
You mean it's not an official?
This needs the biggest quote marks ever. Adapting
Killing Stalking into an anime.
You mean it's not an official anime adaptation like everyone on Twitter thinks it is?
Oh, okay.
It was like, the problem was the original Twitter post that blew this up said an official adaptation. And then in the replies to that tweet, they doubled down saying, yeah, it was all official. But the thing that caught my eye is the picture that everyone was retweeting.
Right.
The three pictures of this tweet. One of them was like Chaos Up Studio. I'm like, what the fuck is a Chaos Up Studio?
So because Aki found that on a timeline and was like, holy shit, they're making a Killing Stalking anime adaptation. I'm like, really? Let me see. And I saw the pictures. I'm like, the first two
look legit. Yeah, they look legit.
And it was like coming soon, 2020. I was like, oh shit, okay. And then I looked at the last one and it was like Chaos Up Studio. I'm like,
yeah, right?
Who? What is the studio? I legitimately had to look it up on Wikipedia being like, maybe it's just one of, because you know, recently there've been so many fucking Japanese anime studios that have just come out with like ridiculous names. So I'm like, oh, it's probably just one of those.
Exactly.
I looked it up and I'm like, nope, it's literally just one dude. It's one dude.
But I feel bad for whoever's making this because, like, my God, the amount of hype they just got thrusted on them. And everyone's assuming this is, like, legit.
Yeah.
I mean, how did the hype just happen? It's
literally just the tweet.
Just the tweet.
Yeah. The original tweet, I think, as of us recording, I think has, like, 40,000 likes and, like, 20,000 retweets or something.
Wow.
Like, because killing stalking fans are ruthless. They are ruthlessly dedicated.
And also, the thing was, I saw in a lot of in the replies is that people weren't questioning whether like it was legit. People were just questioning, should it get an adaptation? And that was the main argument. I think that's why it was getting so many retweets.
Do you guys
retweets.
Think it should get an adaptation? I mean, let me change the question. Have you guys read it?
I've read the first like story. What is it like? Because it came out in like stories, right?
It's like seasons.
Yeah, I read the first season and I quite liked it. And you know, it's a lot, but I feel like, from what I've heard as well, it handles it quite well towards the end.
Yeah, I did a video on it. I actually looked back on when I did my video of it.
Yeah.
It was 4 years ago.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
was it that long ago?
Yeah.
I remember you releasing that like, like yesterday.
Yeah, I know,
it
right?
does seem like yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was only like maybe like a year or two ago.
Yeah,
it was
4 years
ago. And that's because I only reviewed the first season because I think the series ended like, I think it was like last year?
Yeah.
Maybe like over a year ago. Yeah. But there was like a huge gap, right? So I've only really seen or read like the first half of it. And it was, you know, it was marketed as like, oh, it's a really hardcore, like gruesome yaoi. So, you know, all these fangirls getting on it. And I was like, okay, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it as much because I'm not exactly the target demographic, but I'll give it a go. And it was like a genuinely good story. Like, yeah it had yaoi elements in it, but you know, I'm an adult. I can handle that, right?
Yeah,
so exactly. Other than that, if you take away the yaoi elements, it's just a really, really good horror mystery. But when I saw that they were going to make a quote unquote anime adaptation for it, I was like, I don't, because immediately what I thought of is all of these other like over-sexualized series getting anime adaptations recently.
Because as someone who hasn't read it, seems like it's a very sexual story that would have to be heavily censored.
It is hardcore.
It's like, as well, I think it also has such like, it's divided a lot of the community because I think a lot of people really sexualize it when it's just a really fucked up dynamic.
Yeah.
And a lot of, I mean, a lot of really deep shit of like possessiveness and all that. But if you're thinking about reading it, it's a lot. Like it is.
Yeah, go
hard.
Into it with caution, definitely.
Definitely be over the age of 18.
Yeah. We have to legally say that.
I mean, I think you should read it, but then also like I can totally recommend you not to read it. Like it's your life would be totally fine if you don't read it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch the anime instead and get my opinion there.
Talking about the anime, like I said earlier, I feel bad for this person because a lot of people are putting a lot of hype on it. But also what I saw, it's a one man job. Like this guy's doing everything and I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but they seem to be in charge of, they seem to be 3D modelers, I think. That's what their trade is. And I saw the voice acting casting call, and as someone who's, you know, done a lot of voice acting casting calls, I've made my own, I've worked with a lot of professional ones, like it is not normal, I'd say. I don't want to be mean
what
to
do
them.
What do you mean not normal?
I don't want to be mean because they are, I don't think they're like that experienced, and I think other voice actors are helping them with it, but first of all, normally you don't name who's gotten what role publicly.
Right.
So on the casting call document, which I think we can maybe show on screen for a second, it says like one person who has the role and it's showing publicly. That's not normally the case. Normally it's just Hero with the Lions, audition for it and whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
And the way it's laid out is really odd. And it's just over, I mean, over Twitter isn't that weird, but there's no mention of pay or anything. Like, I guess, I mean, it is a fan-made project, but normally still you say if it's paid or not.
Yeah.
You normally say how, you know, how many lines they're going to be. It just, I don't know. It looks like it belongs on like Casting Call Club, which is an amateur voice acting website.
Mm. Yeah.
Which makes me uneasy because if it is going to be a USB microphone kind of deal, it's not going to sound good because there was no, hey, here's the minimum requirements. You need a sound treated room. There was nothing. It was just, if you want to audition.
Yeah.
And I saw the replies to this thread and it was like all 13-year-old sounding girls auditioning.
Yeah. But that's because the main fucking like readership of stalking are 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Even though it shouldn't be. based on context, it should not be.
It's just worrying with these kind of things as well. Because normally, like when I've done plus 18 projects, I normally ask for proof of ID if I cast someone. Like they need to show me their ID. And this should definitely be one of those situations where like those precautions should be taken.
Yeah.
Even if it's fan made, right? Like it's not a good look for you if you're getting 13-year-old girls to voice in your thing about, like, you know, it's some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's still very early days. I mean, it's from what it sounds like, it sounds like a situation where someone got way too much press way too quickly, because I have no doubt that they probably have no fucking experience.
Because I saw on their Twitter actually just this morning that they tweeted out being like, oh my God, after someone retweeted my thing, I've gained like 10,000 Twitter followers in like overnight. And like, you know, this person obviously like came from like pretty much close to zero followers. Yeah. So for them, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of like pressure just immediately built up on them.
Yeah.
Because you're going after such like, I don't want to say iconic, but like a very, like very, very dedicated series.
No, I think it's not just that as well. Cause I think what really built up the hype as well is we're in like this environment now where Webtoons, anime are being made, you know? So it wouldn't have been so surprising to say Killing Stalking is getting an anime as opposed to like last year or even 2 years ago where, you know, we didn't have any precedence for that. But now with Tower of God airing and God of High School and Noblesse all getting animes, it's like maybe we're in a new era where people are expecting that their favorite webtoons or their favorite webcomics from whatever country could get anime adaptations.
Yeah, true, true.
I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't be against the idea of it actually getting an official adaptation.
What, Killing Stalking?
Yeah, I think it could be, it'd definitely make waves.
I mean, it would make sense considering that recently there's been like a big trend of like, as I said earlier, like over-sexualized series. Like we've got Shumatsu no Harem getting
adaptation. My fucking God.
Are they going to handle that? Because there is legitimately a sex scene every three pages. Like, so, I'm not even kidding.
So I don't know anything about this manga. So wait, what is it called? And
It's called Shumatsu no Harem.
Or World's End Harem.
World's End Harem. And basically the overall plot, I'm oversimplifying this, but basically-
It's a hentai plot.
Humanity has gone to shit where there is a disease that is killing all males. It's only affecting males. So basically now-
You can tell where this is
going. I already know where this is going.
It's a hentai plot. Yeah. So basically males now are becoming like a commodity. They're basically being treated like males that have like survived this disease are basically like treated as like national treasures.
Let me guess, right? First of all, the difference between this and hentai, right? Is that if it was a hentai, it'd be an ugly bastard. And like a handsome young guy. Yeah. Right?
No, it's like several handsome young guys.
Okay, that's how it happens. Yeah. If it's an ugly bastard, it's a hentai.
Pretty much. But like the dynamic, see, this is where a difference from a hentai though, is that our main character has like this girl that he's been thinking about his whole life.
Yeah.
And basically like doesn't want to just go around and like sex everyone in order to save humanity. He'd rather keep his like purity for the girl that he's been thinking of.
So it's a Christian. So it's about, it's about waiting for the right person.
It's basically Blue Ball, the manga. Because everyone else, five other guys, are having a fucking great time. They're fucking different chicks every fucking
day. They're pretty much like what hentai protagonists should be.
I'm not being sold on this, but saying that, I wasn't sold on Interspecies Reviewers until I watched it, and I thought this is pretty funny.
It's not going to be as good as Interspecies.
No, it won't be.
Interspecies Reviewers is like a really weird case because it was something that was definitely ecchi in the manga. In the anime, they just made it porn. But I don't know. Interspecies Reviewers, to me, is that line between hentai and ecchi because you don't watch Interspecies Reviewers to jack off, right? But it's undeniable that there is just a straight up sex scene in it.
Right. Which is really interesting though, because the one sex scene that everyone was raving on about in the anime, I think it was episode three, was never in the manga.
No, it wasn't.
Implied. All sex scenes of that series is implied in the manga. But in the anime, they were just like, fuck it, let's just show it.
Yeah, like to put things in perspective, you didn't even see nipple in the manga.
No.
Oh wow!
At all. That was like
actually,
how?
No, that's a lie. You did,
really?
Yeah, you did see nipple.
Oh okay.
I would Joey know. Knows. I know all. I own all the volumes.
You seen this man's Twitter? He knows a nipple when he sees one.
I own all the volumes, and I've enjoyed every single one.
Can we talk? But, can we talk about your Twitter in a bit? Can we please talk about Joey's
Twitter? Why do you want to talk about my Twitter?
Because it would make.
By
a
the
great,
way, follow me on Twitter, guys. At the Anime
it would
Man
make
with
a great
one
clip is what I mean. Can you please explain your Twitter? And okay,
what
first
do you mean
all,
explain my Twitter?
Whenever I go on Twitter, right? I don't follow hentai artists on Twitter because I don't need to. Because this man's got me covered. Because as you know on Twitter, when you like a picture, there's a good chance for some reason, especially Joey's, of specifically, it comes on my Twitter. And I must get at least every time I open Twitter, 6 or 7 like either like full on sex things or like very, very lewd. And it's always Joey. It's like, I'm like, I don't follow porn. Oh, it's liked by Joey Bissinger. And it's like, how did you get to this point?
Okay, here's what I don't understand, right? Like, how many people do you follow on Twitter? Like on average?
I think I have 600 something.
Okay, yeah, 600.
About that many.
Okay, yeah. Right? You both follow about over 500 people.
Yeah.
And like, this isn't just you two. Like I've had this from like mutual friends of mine.
Everyone says it's you.
How
Everyone.
Is it that my likes end up on everybody's timeline? am I on like Twitter preferred? Like what?
I have no fucking clue, but it is, I'd say 70 to 80% of the time I see lewds on my timeline. Mm. It is you. It is straight
up
you.
This motherfucker.
Because first of all, you're welcome.
Okay, because this didn't used to be the case. And like, I swear you were way more timid about it. How did it, because I'm scared of doing that. Because I don't know. Because I mean, I shouldn't really, because I basically get half naked in some of my videos. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I was just worried about like just having porn on my thing. But now I guess I can get away with
because
it.
Because
how did you go from not sharing porn to basically just
to being the hentai man?
I've always shared it. That's the thing.
Have you? I swear you didn't.
I mean, maybe not as frequently.
No, I swear now you're seeking it.
I think it was just Twitter changing the like button to be basically the retweet button.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what it is. Because for the entirety that I've been on Twitter, I've liked hentai.
Yeah.
Because I've followed hentai, like people like hentai artists I like or like hentai artists I've discovered, but I've never retweeted it because of this exact reason. I don't want other people's timelines to be filled with hentai.
Apparently.
But Twitter was just like, hey, let's just like make the like button like a beta retweet button.
I gotta ask, how much of your feed is just hentai?
That's what I asked. I asked to see his phone.
Do you wanna see it now?
It wasn't that bad when I first saw it.
Right. I mean, the thing is, I don't follow that many hentai artists.
Yeah.
I know that's hard to believe, but I genuinely don't. The thing is, I follow hentai artists that love retweeting other hentai artists.
Yeah.
And that's where I find all the people. Okay, here.
Scroll through his Twitter.
Why don't you all scroll down my Twitter?
Let's see.
How many come up?
Oh, there we go. Okay, right away.
One in three.
Can you
tweets?
Also like everyone that appears?
Yeah, can we go to his likes from when this is?
Oh yeah. Go to my likes.
All right. Oh, there's another one.
There's two in a row.
Oh wait, there's a Jimmy Neutron there. That's not hentai.
Jimmy Neutron. What? Who am I following?
Gyoza, that's basically.
Okay. While they're looking through the Twitter, let me defend myself real quick. Okay. Mm. The reason why I like it is because at the end of the day, these are just drawings, right? There's a difference between liking like actual human porn versus just a picture.
This man's about to go the hentai's art route, isn't he?
I am genuinely one of those people who looks at hentai as art.
No, I totally agree with you. Like,
you sound like such fucking degenerate.
Shut the fuck
no,
up,
no, no, no. No, it's art. It's art. I assure you.
Listen, I'm talking on behalf of every hentai lover watching this episode, including you.
I like hentai. I don't know if I look at it and like just crack open a beer and just enjoy.
Wait, no. I have gotten to that point, right? I've gotten to the point.
What point?
You've seen my fucking room. You've seen my fucking office, which is just like full hentai of like anime thighs and stuff like that. Because it's gotten to the point where sometimes you just see this like drawing of a girl or a thigh or something, and I just don't even get horny anymore. I'm just fucking impressed at how
honestly, how good they make it look.
Yeah, that was me when I saw the Meliodas in Seven Deadly Sins season 3.
Because they're genuinely like some hentai artists that I've seen and I know of where I'm just like, if you made an all ages manga,
Yeah.
You would sell like crazy.
Oh no, and people have.
People have. Like, look at like Nanashi, who made fucking Ijirane de Nagatoro-san.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I know. Moon, I'll put up a picture of it, okay? Everyone has seen this chick before, all right?
Okay.
Nanashi was originally like a hardcore loli hentai artist.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he made a really fucking successful all-ages comedy manga, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And like, and even if they don't make all-ages stuff, look at artists like Napata, who is like genuinely an amazing artist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what I will like, because you know, we've gotten to this point where hentai has just become like, haha, anime boobs, hilarious and horny on me. Like it's all just become like a joke thing. Yeah. I don't want that anymore.
I don't want that.
I'm sick of those jokes.
I'm like, I want to save this topic because I want to dedicate a whole episode. I am ready. I have too many things to say about hentai and hentai artists that I can't fit it all in 5 minutes.
Smash like on this episode if you want a hentai episode, because we're going to do it either way.
We're going to do it anyway.
Give these guys like 3 sips of beer and they just start talking about hentai. Like
I shouldn't have had a strong zero, to be fair. This shit's strong.
I don't know. Like when I watch hentai, it's like, it's for a service, you know? I guess I do it to do, I do the deed, right? Like I don't sit there and like swirl my wine glass and think like,
wow. Am I weird? Am I, okay, I wanna know.
Yes, is probably the answer to this question.
Hold on, shut up. Am I weird to be like, sometimes I kind of just want to watch hentai just to enjoy
yes,
it?
That's totally, yeah. Yeah, that's fucking okay, weird. Come okay. on. He's, no, probably he's probably going through that phase right now. That's why he's unsure.
No. I hentai to me hasn't got to that point.
Right.
Doujinshi and manga.
No,
has
that's what
definitely
I mean.
Gotten to that
Doujin,
point.
Right? See, this is why I love it.
There is no part of me in a porn where like I watch a porn and I don't immediately skip to 2 minutes in.
You are the degenerate here, motherfucker.
There isn't. I've bought a lot of doujinshi from like artists I like.
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually read like physical copies of doujinshi and like jacked off to it. I know that's TMI. Dude, I'm sorry, but. Yeah.
I will recommend you some shit.
Okay,
yeah,
wow,
I do.
Okay. I'll come on.
Have you seen my Twitter likes?
In like 4 episodes, I'll come back on. I'll be like, totally agree with everything these guys say. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to like your like progression from like, oh, what the fuck, to like, you know what? I love this artist.
Yeah, because it's, if you've read enough doujinshi and if you've read enough like H manga, there are so many doujinshis that just have really, really good plots.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
It's, this
sips
really
beer. I do agree. I must say,
it's gotten to this point where sometimes you just want these series to be adapted into a hentai just so you can see it animated.
Yeah.
And sometimes you read these series that just do something new with porn or hentai that you just have never seen before, and you're just like, wow, this is like awakening something in me right now. This is amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. Like,
I've never heard someone describe, I've watched hentai and it awakened something in me.
How have you
like,
not?
There are some doujinshis that I've read where like, at first I was like, okay, I dig this art. And then I see like the etchy scenes and I'm like, okay, I'm digging this. Like, you know, I have like a quarter chub maybe. As the story continues, I'm like, you know what? Fuck the etchy scenes.
I think I started the podcast with the wrong boys
question to you and question to all of you watching. Why do you think thigh highs are sexy? And if the answer isn't anime, and anime awakened your love for thigh highs, you're fucking lying.
No, it did. It did. I mean, it's
because let's be real, Japanese girls don't have thighs.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Yeah. So like, if you just think, thigh highs is like entry level, right?
Okay.
In the world of doujinshis and H manga,
okay,
that's like some normie shit, man.
We've gotten to that point where thigh highs are normie as fuck.
Maybe in future we can return to this topic when I've done my research.
Yeah, yeah. We'll come back to it.
Don't worry.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves right now. Okay, like this
an understatement.
This was meant to be an introductory episode when we introduced what we're going to be doing.
If you don't like these topics, I'm sorry.
It won't always be hentai, by the way. We just preface that. I think the main reason we started this as well is because we always hang out together. Like it's not one of those things like some YouTubers hang out, they make videos. Yeah. Seems like their friendship's great. We all actually hang out together all the fucking time. No. And we always talk for like 2 hours straight.
Yeah, what you're looking at is anime. Essentially what we do on a daily.
Yeah, like we easily have conversations where we just talk for like 3 hours about manga and anime. And we're like, why don't we just fucking-
Not
like,
even yeah. about manga or anime. Anything, I remember the last time we were at your house and we talked about like, what was the best burger joint? Do you remember that? We like legitimately like hardcore argued about like, is In-N-Out overrated or not for like 40
it's not,
minutes.
It's not, by the way.
It is.
Okay, we're not gonna get into that.
Okay, whatever.
But I suppose, I guess that's, we're going to be talking about like anything and it's going to evolve over the time.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I mean, the core of it is anime and manga.
I mean, I have a lot of things about anime and manga that I want to talk about, but I also want to talk about the culture, the community, hentai, more hentai, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm also like just general, because we're all YouTubers. We want to talk about sometimes if there's YouTube drama that we feel like we can probably add something to. Yeah, like, of course.
Well, you know, sometimes if there's just like, standard banter of just like whatever the fuck, then we'll talk
about
it.
And if any of our mutuals are ever in Japan, like if you want to talk anime and manga with us, hit us up.
Yeah, absolutely. And not even just our mutuals. Like if you're just, if you want to like come onto the show and like talk, first of all, you got to come onto the show physically, sit right here next to me and talk about it.
Because we want to, ideally this will be a four person podcast and hopefully, I mean, I'd be really interested in to bring YouTubers on who don't really get to talk about anime.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Just hear their side.
You know, I guess, I mean, if there are any YouTubers watching this video or, you know, the tweet or whatever, then I guess let us know if you'd like to come onto the podcast because we will happily welcome whoever
because
wants to come on.
It's surprising. I've met so many YouTubers who have nothing to do with anime or anything.
Who watch anime.
Who watch anime and just really want to talk about anime to someone.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think it's pretty awesome because I remember anime was nowhere near this popular before.
Oh yeah.
And I remember the feeling of being the only anime fan and having nothing, no one to talk about.
I mean, I think that's why I started my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That was like my reasoning is that I had no one to talk to this about.
Yeah. I mean, let's just say like kids today have it fucking easy. Like if you're an anime fan, like today in high school, you have it so much easier than any of us did.
My God. I'm so jealous. Because I wish I could have just talked to my fucking friends about Naruto or Bleach or One Piece or something.
I had to convince my friends to get into anime.
Well, God,
in order to find someone to talk about anime.
See, this is like another thing that when I talk to Americans, they don't have this problem. And at least in my age group, and I imagine yours as well, right?
Yeah.
It's like weird. Americans had it good. But British people, and I think probably Australian people are more closer to British, like people are fucking ruthless in school.
Oh yeah.
Like
no, definitely.
And I remember I got shit for gaming too much in school. So how the fuck am I gonna
say?
Okay,
I never
there?
Had that.
I got shit for gaming too much in school. So how am I gonna sit there and be like, all right, so Call of Duty, that thing that you play, but give me shit for, how about you check out these anime titties, right? Like how do I built up years getting to like a medium level of like in between a level of popularity.
Yeah,
I was never popular, but I got out of the bullying zone, if you will. Didn't want to go back
it's
in
really
there.
It's really crazy just how, like, I don't want to say mainstream anime has
it's
gone.
It's not mainstream yet.
It's not mainstream at all, but, like, I guess just how much more accepted it's become as a subculture.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
It definitely is, because I feel like anime works so well with meme culture.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anime, in a sense, is meme culture in a lot of ways. I mean,
big fly in a room when you mention meme culture and anime. You all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But I feel like because of that, it's a lot more people know what anime is, or at least have seen a meme or a screenshot or a GIF of probably JoJo.
Yeah.
it's usually where they start.
That's usually what happens.
And as it should be.
It's the only anime that matters.
And then people would just recognize it a lot more. Because I remember when I was growing up, people didn't even know what anime was.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the word anime, they're like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
That's some cartoon porn shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's weird because I think one of the biggest like double-edged swords to anime has been Netflix. Like in the sense that like it's got a lot of people into anime.
Yeah.
But then when you get really into anime, it becomes like the fucking worst place to get.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I mean, just, and we're like, definitely going to talk about like Netflix.
We'll talk about that more in future, but I think Netflix absolutely. Has also helped a lot. Cause I mean, they've been pushing like, I remember like when they started getting anime, like Death Note would not get off my fucking recommended on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. And like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. I think they have like all the classics, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, they have all the entry level shows,
right, the stuff that you like definitely. Need to watch, and now they have Evangelion as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
Like, which is oh man, such
crazy
a huge
they got
achievement.
That.
Like that's just I can't imagine how much money Netflix threw at Arno to be like, hey, can we grab your series that has been pretty much out of print for like 20 plus years?
Yeah, I want to hear the story about how they got that because. Yeah. people have tried for decades, literal decades, to get the after ADV died, to get the licensing over to the West. So that must be a fucking
story.
I remember
when I heard the news of that, like, I actually couldn't believe it. Like, this is like one of the biggest achievements, because it is like, you know, without, you know, wrapping it up in a package nicely, like, Evangelion is one of the biggest anime ever made. And like, Anno, we all know Anno is like hardcore when it comes to protecting his IP.
Oh my God.
Because remember, for the longest time, Hollywood wanted to make that Ava adaptation.
Yeah, yeah.
And Anno was just like, hell no. Fuck off, fam. Like,
He did us a solid.
Yeah, yeah. No, he really saved our ass for that. Most definitely.
There are so many fucking live action adaptations being made right now. I can't even keep track of them all.
Yeah.
Remember when there was just one and everyone would just wait to shit on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think there's like over 10 adaptations being made right now.
We need to do an episode where we do like a tier list of the worst Netflix adaptations. Or like
we need to do a tier list of the worst live action adaptations.
Oh God, yeah, yeah.
So anyways, guys, like, look forward to all of that stuff.
Yeah, this was just a taster. We didn't really plan much of what we were gonna say here.
As you can see, we're just talking out of our ass.
We were just talking about, there wasn't a topic planned and we just kind of evolved.
The only topic we talked about was Killing Stalking, which lasted 5 minutes.
There'll be a lot more structure in future when we get a bit more used to it as well. And,
absolutely.
When we have more topics to talk about. But because right now, we do want to cover, I think it would make it really interesting for you, the audience, when, you know, you hear our opinions pretty early on about things that are like evolving situations.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to hear anything, or if you want to request anything that you want to hear us talk about, you can tweet at us.
Yes, at Trash Taste Pod. Go onto Twitter and give us your suggestions. If you guys would also like to ask like any questions, like Q&A and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll probably have a Q&A section.
Yeah, and then we'll probably grab some questions off of Twitter as well. Basically, if you'd like to interact with us in any way for future episodes, then definitely follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, just subscribe.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy to be like, subscribe, like the video.
Smash the like button.
Smash that motherfucking like button, fam. But if you do, then that would greatly help us out and be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, as you can see, we're still in like, I'd say like beta right now, the beta stage of this podcast.
Yeah.
We're gonna be gamma stage.
Yeah, we're gonna be filling up the background and everything. Don't worry about that.
If you found this episode and enjoyed it before we've even pushed it on our main channels, thank you. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
But yeah, I think that's a good place to end it for now.
Yeah, we're going to be uploading at least one a week, and we have a highlights channel as well coming out. So yeah, you can expect at least one of these a week.
Yeah, but look forward to that, guys. Thanks for watching. I've been Joey.
I've been Gant.
Connor, or Sea Dog Virginia.
Or Giguk.
Yeah.
Gig UK.
The Animu Man. And we appreciate you guys for sticking around this first episode, and we hope to see you guys in the next one.
All right. Nice. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.